following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Refuge family, how you guys doing? Pastor David here with today's installment of our Refuge Daily. If you are joining me or joining us, I'm glad to have you here with me. And I'm excited to share what's on my heart right now. I want to say this has been something that's been kind of stewing a little bit since last Sunday. If you guys came to our 9 o'clock service at Refuge, on top of Bill teaching, we had a time of baptism, and we were able to hear the different testimonies of people, how they became saved, or how some of them have rededicated their lives, the things that Jesus has seen them through. And I got to be honest with you, and I was sharing this with the pastors last Wednesday, as I was standing there and listening and watching these baptisms and hearing their testimonies, I was like deeply moved by everything I was hearing. And I walked away from that day thinking to myself, like, dude, God is really big. Like God is so big, and he can save anybody. I am proof that he can save anybody. If you're watching, you are proof that God can save anybody, right? Only we know, maybe some of our families know, but only we know kind of the depths that we went. And the Lord still went after us, left the 99 to come after the one. And so this idea of like testimonies has been on my heart and mind. And even every single week in our pastor's meeting, we've been going over testimonies. Each week somebody else goes and just shares how Jesus saved them and how they came to be where they're at right now. And so with all of that kind of in my mind and in my head, and through my devotional time right now, I'm in the book of 1 Corinthians, and I'm in chapter 6. Well, I finished chapter 6. I finished chapter 6 today, and something stood out to me, and I want to read it, and I just want to really pull where the application came in and how it ties to this idea of testimonies. And so I'm going to start from verse 7. I'm kind of dropping you in the middle of a thought. What's being talked about right now is this idea of suing your brother or taking them to court, and it kind of, again, it's like in the middle of it, and I'm trying to think of the word. They are telling and saying and teaching and saying, listen, believers should not be doing this, right? We should not be doing this. So that's kind of the context of what we're in right now. I'm going to drop us off in verse 7. It says this: "Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brothers or to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Now, this is really what I want to focus on right here, is verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Now, as I was reading this, I wasn't looking for this, but as I was reading this, I was like, man, they just listed a bunch of different things that people struggle with, that before you came to the Lord, that before I came to the Lord, I struggled with some of these, and you struggled with some of these as well. And I love how he says that. "And so, and such were some of you." This was you pre-Christ. This was you before redemption, before the Lord saved you. This was you. You were on a trajectory going not heaven bound at all. You were on the way to hell. That's just the reality of Scripture. That's the reality that Scripture reveals to you and me. And such were some of you, but you were washed, right? You think of when you wash somebody, right? I was just at the beach earlier today with my wife and my son. That kid had sand everywhere. We had to wash him, right? We had to clean him up. He was dirty. He was not gross, but I mean, he was dirty. He needed to be washed. He needed to be purified, to be cleansed. And that's what he's saying. And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified, right? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I can't help but just to think, and even as I was reading this, I can't help but just to think like that's me. That's my story. That's my testimony. That's you. If you're a believer here today and you're hearing me, that is you. That is your story. You have been cleansed. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. And the Lord will continue to sanctify you because that's just what he does. He's a faithful God who sustains you and who will continue that work of sanctification in your life as we continue to abide in him, right? And we are justified, right? We've been made right because of God, because of the work of the cross, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, right? We've been justified by our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Just, I love how he says it in such a way with such confidence of like, you struggled with these things. This wasn't just something that you put on like a coat or something. This is what made you, you, is these kinds of sins. But now what makes you, you is Jesus, is the fact that he has restored and redeemed you. And it's like, man, that's the power of the gospel. That is amazing stuff. That is an amazing reality. And so as I read this, I'm like, dude, that just totally corresponds to what went down on Sunday when people are recounting the things that they used to be before Jesus radically conquered, right? Before Jesus radically just went, I love you, right? You're mine. It is amazing. And it reminds me in 1 Peter chapter 4. He says this, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men. Here, listen to this one. But for the will of God, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. I love this. We have spent enough of our time living apart from Jesus, living apart from the life that he has called us to live. So as I was reading and I read 1 Corinthians 6, this passage immediately came to my mind. It's all tying in my mind with this idea of testimonies, tying to the idea of our witness day to day. And I came to this passage, it just popped up in my mind. It's like, dude, we have lived enough of our life being foolish. We have lived enough of our life just doing stupid things, right? It stops now. It should stop now. I'm thinking as we look around, 2020, what a year, right? It's been bizarre. Nobody knows what to expect. Nobody, right? It's just been all over the place. We have spent enough time doing things that we used to do before we came to Christ. I am so convinced that what our culture needs today, that what our city needs today, that what our state, what our country, what our world needs today is people who say enough is enough. I am no longer going to live that way anymore. If I have a testimony, if I have come to the Lord Jesus, if I have responded to the gospel, if I have been saved, if I've been cleansed and washed and sanctified and justified by the Lord Jesus, then enough is enough. I'm no longer going to live like the old creation. I'm going to live as the Lord would have me to live, as a new creation in him. Instead of being filled with the desires of the flesh, I am going to choose to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. I believe it's John. I'm forgetting what chapter it is right now. But it's in the Gospel of John. And he talks about the reality of like, just abide in Jesus. Stay plugged into him and you will produce fruit, right? Pursue the Lord. Stay plugged in. Remain in Jesus. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're doing that. We have done enough. We have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. When we walked, and he just gives again the laundry list of things that we used to be about. So family, my encouragement today, and I pray you guys take this to heart as I pray for myself, right, to take this to heart as well. Let's be people who are about it every single day. God, how can you use me? I don't want to revert back to the old tendencies that I used to do before I knew you, right? Some of you have a past of anger, of exploding, just firing off, you know? And you're seeing everything going on in our culture right now, and you have a tendency right now to want to go back to that man or that woman before you knew Jesus, and you see stuff and you're like, that's just so stupid, and you just want to light somebody up, right? You just want to get really, really angry. I pray and I ask you to consider right now what we just read. You have spent enough of your time before you knew Christ living that way. God loves you. God desires for you not to live that way anymore, but to live in a way that pleases him. And a way that pleases him and glorifies him is by abiding in him, right? Acting as if that passage in 1 Corinthians we read is true. Acting and living as if we are truly have been washed, have been justified, have been sanctified by the Lord Jesus. So my encouragement again for you guys is, let's be about it. Let's not settle for continuing to live as if Jesus hasn't absolutely changed our lives, right? I want to pray for you guys right now and for myself. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I am so grateful that you are a God who looked at me and said, I love him. Through all his mess, through all his rebellion, through his straight up stupidity, I love him. God, I am so grateful that you chose to send your son down, your only son, to die for me. Jesus, I am thankful that you submitted yourself to the will of your Father in coming down and dying for me. Holy Spirit, I am thankful that you fill me and you draw me closer to Jesus. Father, I pray for my family right now that we would say in our hearts, in our minds, we would just have it set up, purpose in our hearts that enough is enough. We will no longer live the way we used to live. But from this moment forward, we truly are going to sell ourselves fully to you, to completely be all in for you. Lord, would you fill my family with your Spirit? Would you put people in our paths today? Would you remind us day by day that we're here for a reason and for a purpose? It's not for our comfort. It's not to build our own kingdom here. It's not to just accrue wealth or to accrue popularity or power or position, but it's to make you known. It's to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. God, would that be the cry of our hearts? Would that be our greatest desire? For people to know you. So Holy Spirit, I pray you'd convict us if that's not our heart and if that's not our greatest desire. We thank you for your work of sanctification in us. And again, as the truth that we just read in 1 Corinthians, God, thank you for washing us, for sanctifying us, and for justifying us. In your name, amen. Amen. All right, love you guys. God bless you, Refuge. See you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.